We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Ka'Chava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Sunday Independent is reporting a stampede of landlords leaving the market over new rules is being predicted by real estate agents around the country. These are the new rules that come in on March the 1st, which will give, according to the paper, renters who sign agreements after that date 6-year tenancies, and they'll ban small landlords from putting their properties on the market without tenants being left in situ. And according to the analysis done by Gabrielle Monaghan and Wayne O'Connor, what this means is that landlords are looking at these changes and flogging the properties now to get out ahead of them. With us is Eoin O'Brien, who is Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and party spokesperson for housing. Eoin, given that these properties don't suddenly just turn into smoke when they get sold, they are still houses and still available within the market, does it make any difference if all these landlords sell up?
Well, first of all, every time there's a new set of regulations being proposed by government, we hear from landlord representative organisations there's going to be a stampede, and then that stampede doesn't transpire. The Residential Tenancies Board published data quarterly, so we can track the number of exits. It's currently about 4,000 to 5,000 notices of termination a quarter, and the latest data will be out quite soon. So we'll judge the facts when we see them. What is important is to understand what's in the proposed legislation. Keep in mind, this is only a general scheme, just started pre-legislative scrutiny. The actual final bill won't be for us until next year. But it's a huge piece of legislation. It's very, very significant and will have significant implications for landlords and tenants of new tenancies from next March. And therefore, people need to understand it. The first thing is, it will not affect any existing tenancy. So any existing tenancy in place today that continues past March of next year is unaffected by any of the rent-setting rules or the security of tenure rules. Therefore, these new rules, as they're proposed, will only apply to new first-time tenancies created on or after the 1st of March. I have to say, the proposals are perplexing, and they're incredibly complex. On the security of tenure side, they're creating 2 new additional sets of security of tenure relationships, which means there'll be 3 in total, the existing tenants, and then security of tenure rules for what will be called small landlords, landlords with 3 properties or less, and then for large landlords. It is not the case, as you suggested at the start, that small landlords will not be able to sell their properties during the 6-year tenancy. They won't be able to issue an eviction notice on grounds of sale. They'll have to sell with the tenant in situ. But they still will be able to issue eviction notices on other grounds. The grounds will just be more restricted than is currently the case. And then for large landlords of 4 properties or more, there'll be even greater restrictions on eviction notices within the 6 years.
Well, can I ask and the reporting, Eoin, which undoubtedly you will have seen in the Sunday Indo.
Yeah, I read the piece this morning.
Yeah, they're quoting there a significant landlord based in Limerick, not landlord, rather real estate agent. And what he's saying is 90% of small landlords are now giving termination notices to tenants because they fear what will happen when the proposed regulations come into effect. So that they clearly believe that they will be so restricted in the capacity to remove a tenant that they're doing it now rather than wait till post-March.
Well, like I say, when the Residential Tenancy Board publishes the quarterly data, we'll get to see, because the next round of data covers the period from the announcement of these changes to the publication of the bill. So I'll wait to see what the data says. But there are already a significant number of eviction notices been issued every quarter, as I said, 4,000 to 5,000, and the bulk of those are single property landlords. But it is important to say that the most significant changes in this bill actually relate to rents, and it's the ability of landlords who are creating tenancies from the 1st of March next year to reset rent to full market rent for some at the start of that 6 years and for all at the end of that 6 years. there's about 70,000 new tenancies created every year. That's about a quarter of the total number of tenancies. So what this new rule is going to mean is over a period of 4 years, the overwhelming majority of renters are going to see their rents significantly increase above what are already at the highest levels in the modern history of the state. So there's going to be huge confusion on the security of tenure side. I've no difficulty saying that at all. But there's also going to be, and this is the real problem with the legislation, very considerable increases in the rent burden for already hard-pressed renters at a time when rents are through the roof. That is hugely problematic. And it just shows that you have a government who are once again making a complete mess of the regulation of the rental sector. But the big losers here won't be landlords, let me tell you. The big losers here will be tenants paying ever greater rip-off rents.
Will it also create a significant shift in the nature of the rental market in the country in terms of who provides the properties? Because we have a very significant proportion of small landlords, people who may have one or two additional properties. Those type of landlords don't tend to love complexity or bureaucracy or uncertainty. If those get introduced more and more, do we see a shift to large corporate landlords who are much more commercially focused?
First of all, we've already been seeing that shift over the last decade. Landlords who own three tenancies or less are now only 44% of the market. That's almost halved in the last decade. And we're seeing the growth of what I call the medium-sized company landlords, but we're also seeing an increasing concentration of rental properties in the large institutional investors. Now, for the large institutional investors, they won't mind the security of tenure provisions because they'll be able to evict tenants for breach of contract. What they wanted was the ability to reset rent to the top of the market, preferably at the beginning, but also at the end of a six-year tenancy, and they've got that. So that's the trend that's already happening as we go. But the real problem here is the government's approach to this ignores the fact that the real problem in the private rental sector is there are far too many people in it who do not want to be there. A third of all private renters are social housing applicants whose rent has been subsidised by HAPRA's rent supplement. They want to be in long-term social housing. A growing number of renters are over the age of 55. That number has doubled in the last decade to about 88,000 people. They're facing a rent cliff edge when they pension age because they won't earn enough for social housing, but they won't be able to afford private rental or cost rental. So what government really needs to be doing is, in addition to protecting renters, which in my view they're not doing in this instance, is dramatically increasing and accelerating the delivery of social affordable rental and affordable purchase homes. That's the best way to take pressure off the private rental sector. And in the meantime, they do need to stop rents rising, and they do need to give tenants real security of tenure. And my worry is the government isn't doing any of those things, and we're just going to create more instability in the private rental sector without giving people a genuine pathway out of it into the tenure that actually meets their needs. Social, affordable, or private home ownership.
Finally, Owen, from obviously it is a complex set of problems and interrelations across the entire market. But from a layperson's perspective, is any of it soluble if you don't solve the supply and demand imbalance? If at the heart of this there are simply not enough houses being built for the people who want them, whether it be rent or to purchase, is the rest of it all deck chairs and the Titanic?
So the crucial thing is, first of all, you have to assess demand correctly. Government in their new plan is underestimating demand for new homes by a factor of about 20%. But it's also then about supplying the right kind of homes. It's not just supply, supply, supply. It's the right kind of supply in the right place at the right price point. And that's why, for example, the government is underestimating social housing need by about 30%, affordable housing need by about 50%. So, yes, they are miscalculating the level of demand that's there and ignoring recommendations from the Housing Commission in relation to the underlying housing deficit. But they're also not focused on the right kind of supply. The only thing this government seems to be focusing on is trying to increase institutional investment in high-density, high-priced private rental accommodation. Now, your housing market needs some of that, but that's not where the real deficits are. And again, it's not just me. It's the government's own Housing Commission that's making this point. Social housing, affordable rental and purchase provided by the state, and private purchase delivered in the main by small and medium-sized builder developers. That's where our big deficits are. But there's nothing new in the government's housing plan to increase and accelerate delivery of those. There's just huge tax breaks, huge rent increases, and undermining of standards in the delivery and design of apartments that are on offer. That's going to produce some additional supply, very expensive supply in some parts of Dublin, but the deficits, social, affordable, and private for purchase homes will continue to exist everywhere else. And that's why the Department of Finance have said, even if the government meets its own targets, the housing deficit and therefore the housing crisis is going to continue well on for another 15 years, Does it have to be that way? No. Are there alternative solutions? Yes, proposed by the Housing Commission, Sinn Féin's Alternative Housing Plan and others. But unfortunately, this government isn't listening. And in terms of this bill today, notwithstanding some of the sensationalist headlines on the fronts of some of the newspapers, the big losers are renters. From March of next year, if government gets its way, tens of thousands of renters are going to see their rents skyrocket even higher, with a very, very confusing set of changes to the security of tenure, which may benefit some, but they'll be so complex, they'll be very, very difficult to understand and enforce. And therefore, this isn't a good bill for renters.
Owen, thank you. That's Owen O'Brien, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest. And of course, party spokesperson for housing, text to say, as a landlord of 23 plus years, I'm here to tell you explicitly that we are leaving the market. Not all the houses are being sold and many will end up and remain empty. The constitutional rights of landlords have been thrown on a bonfire. Enjoy your crisis. You asked for it. You're getting it. Another, found ourselves accidental landlords with two small two-bed terraced houses when we needed to move and were still in negative equity. Have good tenants in there and are happy to leave them there for now. However, if we want to sell, we'd much sooner sell to a young couple starting out rather than another investor with tenants in situ. These changes are yet another one made to suit large investors and not small landlords or even tenants. Farcical housing policy again. Another, I run a rental agency in Donegal. The government have made a complete mess of the rental market. The RTB is toothless and useless. The new proposed legislation has created confusion and anger.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.